What is the Holy Ghost doing? Amen. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. So I told you, I said, there are different kinds of meetings in the local church. You have, and you must recognize them, because if you want to know how to receive in a Christian meeting, you must know the kind of meeting you're in. I told you there was someone that invited me to a meeting in, was it Badagry, yeah, around that side. And I said, what kind of meeting is it? What kind of meeting is it? And he said, just come, sir. I said, what do you mean by just come, sir? What kind of meeting am I coming for? And he said, hey, just a convention. What will you be doing there? He said, hey, where people just gather, you know, they just convene. Whatever that is. You must know what a meeting is for. So we said there are different kinds of meetings in the local church. You can have a teaching meeting, which is the predominant meeting in the local church. Teaching meetings. What are teaching meetings? Where God's word is taught. That's the primary meeting in the church. Then we have prayer meetings. You observe that you see that frequently in the book of Acts. In Acts 3, Bible says Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. That's like your prayer group. So they had a time where they were meant to come and pray. So as you begin a new year, you must ask yourself, have I set apart time to pray? Have I set apart time to pray? You must have separate sacred prayer moments. Nobody has a great year with God without having a great time praying. So, prayer meetings. What do we do in prayer meetings? We what? Pray. We don't start singing, start rabbi, start, you know, you have come to pray. How many of you are in the prayer meetings in the retreat? You don't sing. Have you sang, yo? After two hours, use the thousand tongues to pray. Amen. That egberun, go and use it to pray. It will help your prayers be faster. Hallelujah. Adonai. Calm down. In a prayer meeting, you have come to pray. There are meetings that we could separate to sing. I remember that we have had meetings where we taught about singing in the spirit, right? Personally, I've held meetings where we sang for 2 hours, we sang for 3 hours. It's not doggone. You know, not just trying to sweat. I was trying to gyrate. So, we sang in and by the spirit for hours. And we had multiple stands. Hallelujah. We didn't teach much. We just dedicated the meeting to singing. And so, you must know the kind of meeting you're in. So that's a prayer meeting. Then we have, as so the third one will be what we call evangelistic meetings, yeah? Or outreaches. Where we go out to reach those who are not saved. Where we go out to preach. To preach. To reach those who are unsaved. To church the unchurched. That's an outreach meeting. You must know that it's a separate kind of meeting. And you must not favor one meeting for another. One of the things you must learn to do in a new year, as you set the pace, is that you make up your mind not to miss meetings. I've told you, God meets with people in meetings. And if you don't know how to take meetings, then you don't know how to take God serious. You must know how to utilize meetings. Then you know how to utilize encounters. Then you know how to utilize God's power. Does that make sense? Alright, so, again, you must know how to utilize meetings. So we said, we've been on three now. A teaching meeting?
prayer meeting, outreaches. All right. The fourth one will be a Holy Ghost meeting. Healing meetings. Amen. I'm forward. Healing meetings. What are healing meetings? Healing meetings will be meetings that we have separated to minister healing to those who need it in their bodies. I've always seen healing as a supply of supernatural energy. So a particular place is weak, you supply energy. A particular place is dead, you supply energy. And I believe God, if you believe with me this morning, that the healing power of God will go in your body right now. And that you spend your year in good health. You believe that? You believe that? You believe that? You know you can spend your year in good health. I think people overestimate sickness. Sometimes we overestimate what the devil is doing. I recall Bishop Mike Bamiloye. Yeah, he was talking about why they started the Mount Zion Drama Ministry. Say whatever you like about the drama ministry, but they have made impact to some people. Personally, we don't do drama, right? There's no plan for it. It will not happen. I'm just saying, he said that in the 80s, that people used to glorify witches. And so all the theater, you see, people just show the power of a witch. You know, how the witch killed someone, that me, and how strong they were. They came up and said, no, that's not the highest form of power. So they titled their movie, Agbarala. I bet that most of you did not watch it, so don't bother. Agbarala, you know. And what they did in that movie was just to show the power of God. Because sometimes we overestimate the devil. I call Bishop Benson Daosa. Baba is on that level. You know, he went on TV and he said confederation of witches in the world were coming to Nigeria. And they are going to come to Benin City. And he said, I dare them to come. So they said they will set up a meeting. So the witches have a representative. Imagine. He said this is the representative of witches. Fine girl. With Christmas clothes. You know, so the representative of witches came and they put both of them on TV. Now this happened in the 90s. And Bishop Benson Daosa said, okay, so you are the one. Yeah, I'm the one representing. Like you're hosting World Cup, something like that. I'm the one representing the witches in Nigeria. He said, you. And you're not scared. Say, we have heard of you. We have heard of you. And we're going to show you. So you stop talking. And the woman had a stroke on TV. Right there, seated. And Bishop Benson Daosa said, are they going to cancel the meeting or not? Because this thing can multiply to it. And of course, they didn't hold the meeting. Whatever that means. Amen. Don't overestimate the devil. We are in the great power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll see much more demonstrations of that this year. Amen. You believe that? Alright, so, people overestimate darkness. Oftentimes when someone is sick, you know, if it's headache, you say, oh, headache, just, you know what, just pray, right? Just pray. Lay hands there and it will go. With malaria, you are bold, you are your disciple. Come on, have you prayed? But when they tell you it's cancer, suddenly, you're not thinking of prayer. Because in your mind, cancer is a verdict. But in God's eyes, cancer is like headache. And that's the way you must see it. Are you listening to me? It's cancer. You say, why didn't you tell us any? What do you mean by why didn't you tell us any? What do you mean? See, when it started, you have just informed. You have just told people that I'm seeing this. No. Because by that time, everybody has been, it's too late. He said, the stuff has grown so much. It has metastasized. It has, that's jargon to some people. It has multiplied. It has spread to other parts. You can't control it. So if it's too late. That's not what Jesus says. Lazarus was dead 4 days. I mean, it's only dead 4 days. That's too late, yeah? If it was a fresh dead body, the way God raised the dead through me, fresh dead body, that's my special. Or about to die. If it was that he was about to die like right now, the power of God will supply energy. Who told you he can still not? So, we have meetings where we supply supernatural energy. Nothing is too late. I don't know why I'm going that direction this morning, because we are teaching something differently totally. But nothing is too late. Are you listening to me? Nothing. Jesus, they came to tell Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. Jesus said, in his head, you're eating you. He's going to die. So he told his disciples, he sleeps. That's not what he told him. They said, he's sick. He's sick. And Jesus said, you know what? This sickness is not unto death. That's what he told them. He said, go back. This sickness is not unto death. It's for the glory of God. They said, he doesn't lie. And you are going back. One thing I know about that man, one thing doesn't lie. If you are there, that wedding at Cana of Galilee, he said something like this. He just said we should put water in the water pot. That was all. I cannot doubt him. I cannot doubt it. He has said that Lazarus will not die. I believe Lazarus will not die. That's what he said. So Jesus told them, he said, Lazarus will not die. And they said, we bless you, Lord. He's not going to die. So they told Mary and Martha. Jesus, what did you say? He has the final answer. Who has the final answer? Jesus has the final answer. Jesus said, Fly Frankie, Jesus will not die. And the man was getting worse every day. He got worse and worse. And they will keep saying, the devil is just showing us this. He will not die. And then he died. Amen. And then he died. And Jesus said he was coming. He said he was going to show up. And Jesus, he did not show up till the man died. After 4 days, the Bible says, okay, listen. You know the meaning of that? That's a useless walk. Just put your leg on your leg and you're coming. I didn't say that for Jesus, eh? I just said what Yoruba people say. They can insult you. Apologies if you're Yoruba. Alright, so, and Jesus can't come with disciples. And they are walking like celebrities. And they got there. And Martha met him at the gate. And said, why are you just coming? Meaning that, of course, Mary said the same thing when he saw Mary. Meaning that they discussed it. Abi is a false prophet. He said he will not die. He has died. He said he will show up. He will not show up. That's what they do. He knows I cannot eat it. That's why he will not. Now, the issue with Martha and Mary is that they both said, if you had come 4 days before, our brother would not have died. If you had come 4 days, Jesus, if only you showed up 4 days earlier. But who told them that it was too late? Who told them? Sometimes you ask yourself, who told you that cancer is the verdict, is the last statement? Who told you? Who told you that the moment something requires surgery, that's life and death? No. God's powers are working me. You believe that? You believe that? You're not talking like you believe it. God's powers are working me.
This year,
I am bolder.
I'm more courageous.
In walking in God's power. Come on, say it with me. This year,
I am bolder.
And more courageous.
In walking in God's power.
Hallelujah. So we can have healing meetings where supernatural energy is supplied to our bodies. What kind of meeting can we have again? We can have, we call this ministers meeting or meetings that are for secluded audience. These workers meeting, you know, Jesus had that kind of meeting or those kinds of meetings. Where he had his 12 disciples alone, not the 120, not the 500. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul helps us to understand that when he rose from the dead, he met with the 500. And so, we can have meetings for secluded audiences. For example, in the local church, we have the school of ministry, where specific people are taught. Amen. And schooled and trained to be able to lead God's people. And to be able to teach better. Alright, that's a separated meeting. Sometimes we release the teachings. Right? So, if you can have a feel of what it is to be there. Hallelujah. Then lastly, we have Holy Ghost meetings. The Holy Ghost meetings. Hey, come on. That's so low for Holy Ghost. If that's for me, I like it. But if it's for the Holy Ghost, will you shout it louder? Say Holy Ghost meeting! That's right. Alright, so we have Holy Ghost meetings. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. So, it is possible for a man not to know what the Spirit of God will have him do. And this morning we are looking at what is the Holy Ghost doing. And I really want to focus on gratitude and thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Oftentimes, we don't know that thanksgiving itself is a spirit-filled attitude. Or better put, a spirit-filled activity. Thanksgiving is by the Spirit of God. Thanksgiving is not about dancing and sweating and, you know, all the jamborees. Thanksgiving is about an act of gratitude. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of gratitude. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Like I said, it's in the short service. Ephesians chapter 5. Are you there? Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Tell someone besides you, be filled with the Spirit. He said, are you full of the Spirit? Or you are full of wine? You know, wine, New Year wine. You don't drink, what do you call it? Veleta. So are you full of the Spirit? Not Spirit, not the drink, not the local gin, amen, not Chelsea. He says, be full of the Spirit. How are you full of the Spirit? He says, verse 19, you are going to speak to yourself in psalms,
in hymns and in spiritual songs. So it's possible for a man to train himself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. He says, making melody. Say melody. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. That means you're not singing, you're just going, you know, growing up, I saw my mom do that a lot. She's washing plates. I wish some of you met her. She's washing clothes. You know, I was wondering, what's this woman singing? And before you know it, she's going to turn to a famous Yoruba song. I was thinking, there's one particular one. You know, making melodies. Paul says, if you're going to be full of the Spirit, you must learn to practice it alone. Where you sing psalms. What are psalms? Psalms are songs or lines breathed by the Spirit of God. It means you are not calculating it. You know, have you ever just sat down and words are flowing from your mouth and you're singing a song that doesn't exist? I mean, come on, let me see that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a psalm. It's breathed by the Spirit of God. We have hundreds of that. Amen. So he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart unto the Lord. Can we verse 20 together, everybody? Amen. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord. He says, giving thanks sometimes. Amen. Huh? Oh, he says, giving thanks on New Year's Eve. We thank you for January. We thank you for February. March. April. The month. May. June. July. Then as we get into December, the noise is getting louder. Oh God, yay! September! Ah! November, they don't remember that. They gave me much break before. Breakfast. You don't know why it's rolling. But I rolling dollar. November! Hey! December! That's when you give thanks, right? You give thanks May. You give thanks July. Amen. You give thanks always. Say always. Meaning that even when things appear like they are not going how you planned it. The Bible says, you give thanks always. You give thanks always. One of the things I have noticed about people who God uses is that they are people of thanksgiving. People who give thanks. Colossians 2. You learning something? Colossians 2. Verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. The way you have received Christ, walk in Him. Verse 7 now tells you what you are going to do. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? You are bound in the faith with thanksgiving. In Colossians 3, he explains it for them. Verse 17. You're going to talk to your neighbor, you're going to read this. Are you ready? Colossians 3:17. Want to go? Whatever you do in word and in deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. Again. Amen. Whatsoever thing you do, do it in thanksgiving. Do it in thanksgiving. Ingratitude itself is pride. And you know what God does to the proud? Amen. God fights the proud. Bible says He will resist the proud.
and he will give his grace to the humble. That word resist is not passive. Resist means he will fight. You don't want to be God's opponent, do you? You cannot win. Say, who is your opponent? I said, God. Say, why are you? Wait, I don't know. Who are you fighting? Who is fighting? He said, God. That's a lost battle. Amen. God receives the proud. Ingratitude is pride. Where you feel, well, everything that has happened is my own power. I did this. This is me. Who are you? Hallelujah. We must cultivate that habit of giving thanks. Ingratitude takes away what the Holy Ghost is doing. I'm going to show you that much more. Look at Luke 17. Jesus gives a story. In Luke 17, learn something. Verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Of course, I've explained that geography to you, right? Come on. I've explained the geography to you. Alright, so as you're going to Jerusalem, you have to pass through Samaria, right? Aha. You understand the geography now. Daniel prophet 3, 6. It's 6, now. 6 or 5. Jesus of Nazareth. 6. Yes, you mean 6. Okay. Alright. As he passed through Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. They were lepers. They stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Is that a gift of faith? Is that a gift of faith? As they went. The gift of faith oftentimes leverages on instructions. Of course, I have done that sometimes. Where someone is sick in the body and I tell you, you know what, go and run the test again. And the funny thing is that some people think, hey, this is funny, because they think that the symptoms have to go before I go run the test, and I will now know that I'm free. No. The healing is in the instruction. Oftentimes, it's when you go run the test that it disappears. And I've seen that at least over 10 times. You say, go and do the checkup. That's the gift of faith. Where you give instructions, I think we taught this already. The gift of faith. As the title. Acts of power. The gift of faith. Alright. Good. So, it runs on instructions. Jesus said, no, they were still lepers. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Jesus said, show him. I said, no, we are not entitled to see the priest as lepers. In fact, you're not entitled to enter the town. You guys have a saying, they say, let me explain before you think that I've come with the cartations in the New Year. That is, we don't say a child should not have leprosy. As long as you know how to be alone in the forest. Because the moment you have leprosy, you are going to be banished. Is it making sense? That is, if you can live with the consequences of your action, nobody is stopping you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright. Alright. You have learned something, Abby. Look at this for your mother. Who is your body? Alright. So, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. No, they could have had you. The Bible says, as they went. As they went. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Look at that. He turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were there not 10 that were cleansed?
Where are the nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God. Say this stranger. And 17. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Amen.
Amen. 10 worthless, only one turned back. Hallelujah. 10 worthless. Where are the nine?
Jesus asked the question himself.
So if you think that ingratitude and thanksgiving doesn't mean anything to God, Jesus just showed you. Where are the nine? You know, sometimes we just get so busy that we forget to give thanks. That's too much forgetfulness. That's too much forgetfulness.
Where are the nine?
Ingratitude is not from God.
Jesus teaches that our lives should be full of thanksgiving.
Oftentimes when you see him pray, you see him give thanks. Bible says, when he lifted up the five loaves and the two bread, Bible says, he gave thanks.
Hallelujah.
He gave thanks. He gave thanks. So, thanksgiving is a Jesus thing. One of the signs of someone who has been given to the devil is unthankfulness. Romans 1, we were looking at that some days ago. Romans 1, verse 21 says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They were not thankful. Romans 1:21. He's talking about people who do not regard God in their hearts. Eventually it says they will be given to idolatry, they'll be given to vile affections. I mean, men loving men, Adam and Steve. Amen. Women loving women. Hallelujah. Women loving women. What kind of attraction is that one? Sister Emisi, where Sister Joy? How are that? Who will conduct it? Not me. Amen. Who will talk? Not me. Who will visit your house? Not me. Amen. Ilanwa. He said, as extreme as that can look, same is unthankfulness. It's from the same source. He said, they were not thankful. Find yourself murmuring. You know, every time you're grumbling. You know this? You are unthankful. You know, even in the natural, there are people who are unthankful. Now, let's get God out of it. We are going to bring God back home. In the natural, they're just unthankful. They forget what everyone has done for them, has done for them. I was reading a particular post this last week, and someone was sharing. He's a pastor in South Africa. And he said, you know the most painful thing as a pastor? He said, you'll be with people in their difficult moments. And I just smiled. He said, you'll be with people in their difficult moments, and they will just diss you without even telling you anything. He said, some of them even leave the church without saying a word. What unthankfulness. Hallelujah. You are unthankful. Someone who gave you something, who did something for you, who stood by you in a particular time, and then when it's just time to say thank you, you throw all of that into waters, and then you just start saying, no, let's forget that one. Is this one that we are focusing on? Shut up. That's not the spirit of God. You are operating with a demon. You don't know. Where are the nine? Amen. See, I'm not unthankful. Says they became vain in their imaginations. That word vain actually oftentimes characterizes something that is not eternal. They became worldly. So rather than giving thanks to God, you know what they were thinking about? I've not bought the latest Rolls Royce. You know what they were thinking about? I've not married. You know what they were thinking about? I need promotion in my place of work now. I need promotion. Rather than being thankful, he says, rather than being thankful, they were vain in their imaginations. Sometimes you call that ambition. It's not ambition. You are unthankful. I love the way Bishop T.D. Jakes says it. He says, whatever you are, wherever you are now, is someone's prayer point. How about that one? You know, you are saying, oh, I want this, this year. But you are living someone's dream. Whether it's in the natural or in spiritual things. Where you are now is someone's prayer point. He has been praying for it for a year. I will not be unthankful. Hallelujah. They became vain in their imaginations. So thanksgiving is what the Spirit of God is doing through you and I. It means you are going to take to thought the goodness of God. We sang that song earlier. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. You are going to take that into cognizance. You're going to take that into thought. Are you listening to me? Come on, are you listening to me this morning? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. These are evergreen instructions. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you don't know the will of God, he says, it's to what? In some things. Huh? For salvation alone. Huh? In all things. I love that song. In all things. You know it. We give you thanks. Come on. We give you praise and thanksgiving at all times. In that. We give you thanks. We give you, again, in all things. Come on. We give you thanks. We give you praise and thanksgiving at all times. In everything. We give you thanks. We give. Hallelujah. So it says, it is the will of God. And immediately after it says, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit of thanksgiving. In all things, quench not the spirit. Keep giving thanks. In all things, give thanks. Give thanks. Hallelujah. Give thanks. The word quench, there is the word synomai. Let me just spell it. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. In the Greek. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-I. It means to extinguish. To extinguish something. Now, one of the first references you are going to find in the Greek rendition will be Matthew 25. The 10 virgins. The foolish virgin said to the wives, give us oil so that our fire will not quench. Give us oil so that our fire will not quench. That is, it will not go out. So, what is Paul telling you? When you don't give thanks, you allow the work of the Spirit to quench. What God is doing through you will blow out.
Interesting.
It means that ingratitude takes away what the Holy Ghost is doing. When we live a life of vain imaginations and unthankfulness, we will not see God's hands. The reason why a lot of people see a decline in what God is doing through and in them and for them is because they are unthankful people. Amen? They are what? Unthankful people.
But I'm not unthankful.
Hallelujah. So, thanksgiving means to take to thought and not extinguish what the Holy Ghost is doing. So what is the Holy Ghost doing today? He is making us thankful.
Hallelujah.
So he's making us thankful. So the question is, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? In Exodus 15, when Moses had passed the sea, you know, everything, every miracle he did in Egypt, Pharaoh thought that he had power. But power past power. Hallelujah. You know, power past power. Hallelujah. It's like I'm seeing the mood, We are not doing, you don't do this mess, my question is telling you. Amen. Power past. Hallelujah. We are not void of God's power. I mean, he went to Egypt. He said, let my people go. Yeah, Pharaoh would have just allowed them, but at that cost, instruction. Let them be instruction easy. You can preserve your life. Eventually, he died. And they still left. See, if they would have left, he would have not died. Hallelujah. They would have just left. Gently. They eventually left. He died. Not only him, that reduced his army. So, if another country comes to fight them, they will not win. Because half of his armies are in the Red Sea. Hallelujah. So Moses did all of that. And after they were done, in Exodus 15, Bible says, they sang praises. That's when they sang, who is like unto thee? Hallelujah. They sang praise, Exodus 15. They sang because they were delivered. Have you been delivered?
Yes, sir.
Hey, God, do. Have you been delivered?
Yes, sir.
Have you been delivered?
Yes, sir.
So you sing praises. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Lord, has called my name. Come on. I've been born again into your family.
Into your family.
Your blood flows through my veins. Sing, you unravel me. You unravel
me.
With your melody, with your melody. You surround me. You surround me with your song. It's a song of what?
From the enemy.
See all my fears, God.
See all my fears.
See, I'm no longer
a slave to sin.
I'm a long shine here, man.
I have my child.
Sing, I'm no longer
slave to fear.
I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Hallelujah. You remind yourself of his daily victory. Daily you remind yourself of his benefits. Hallelujah.
daily you remind yourself, I'm a child of God. And you give him thanks for that.
Hallelujah.
So, Moses kept them in remembrance. You know, they are still doing it today. That thanksgiving is what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He told them, this will become a memorial from generations to generations. Your children's children must observe it. Make it a culture in your own. Less grumbling, more thankfulness. Less complaining, more thankfulness. Less murmuring, more gratitude. Hallelujah. And then you're going to see God's hand more. If only we can just, you know, instead of saying, this one is available. If only we can just say, even thank God. Every time I catch myself, you know, even just merely thinking about it, you just hear me say, but we thank God. Hallelujah. Not we thank God as just trying to say, No. I look at what God has done. No, I thank God. Hallelujah. I really, really, really thank God. As a pastor, over God's people, I see and I thank God. Kai, many waters passed under the bridge. What a year we had. What a year. The devil tried some things. Don't worry, you might not know anything. You only just come and lift your hands and worship. Amen. The pastor is the one at the battlefront. But we thank God. Are we not here? Undefeated. Unscratched. Unscratched. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We move on in victory again. By the power of the Holy Ghost. No fear here. No fear here. Only thankfulness. Hallelujah. So, what are you thankful for? Deliverance from darkness. You can be thankful for your local church. What a church. For God's word coming to you every time. For the instructions you receive by the Spirit. For the friends and family you have found in Christ. Oh, wow, I'm thankful. Come on. I've got no biological brother. I don't have one. Maybe I was pampered. But I've got brothers and sisters here. Hallelujah. I've got friends here. Amen. I thank God for that. Thank God for that. When I see you, I smile. When I look, I'm walking and then you greet me. I'm happy. I thank God for that. I thank God for family. Thank God for friends. Thank God for provision. I thank God for guidance. For the leading of the Spirit. For His clear direction every time. As sure as the sun rises. For His instructions for me daily. I thank God. I thank God for my disciples. I thank God for the gospel. That made me worthy. Even to represent God on the earth. I thank God. I thank God. Angels will do everything to be able to preach the gospel. I thank God. I am that voice of the Lord. I thank God. I thank God. I was having a meeting. I was speaking to some people. Work related. We were talking about during the week. Work related. And it was from the ministry, Lagos State Ministry of Health. And they were telling me that two of the three people said they listen to JC Media. I was shocked. Not anymore now. Amen. And I said, I thank God. I don't know. I was just like, two callers just got out the name and they were wondering, is this the same pastor we've been listening to? I said, oh, really? We thank God. Hallelujah. For the opportunity to be a blessing. We thank God. We thank God for prayer.
Hallelujah. For the lungs to breathe, to pray. For the lungs to say, my gate is done by that yakasa. Hallelujah. And when pastor enters and says, Sadualum, bye bye. Is this how to pray? And then he says, pastor, we are prayed, finished. And you see, muster another strength. We thank God. Say, we thank God.
Thank God.
Say, we thank God. We thank God for the ability to see. Ability to rejoice. For our disciples. How about that? You know, Paul kept doing that. In every church. In Philippians 1. That I thank my God always for you. When he was talking to Philemon, in Philemon chapter 1, verse 45, he said, I am always thanking God for you. In Ephesians 1:16, he said, I bow my knees to the Father. I cease not to make mention of my prayers. Always thanking God for you. Same in Colossians. Same in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4-5. Amen. Romans 1:8. I thank God. So, sometimes maybe why we don't see much result with discipleship is because we don't thank God for them. How about taking time to thank God for your disciples? Those who you teach God's word. Those who you preach to. Those who you are mentoring in and by the word. Why not take time to just thank God for them? Maybe if you do like Paul, we will see his result. Be full of thanks for your disciples. For the great work ahead of you. I thank you, Lord. For perseverance. For the little million miracles we experience every day. Amen. Little millions of miracles. Millions of miracles. For going where you are meant to go. For doing the things you are meant to do. For being on this path that he has put you. Thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Is that how to thank you? Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, that song, that old song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I have nothing to give you than to thank you. Oh yeah, oh, thank you, Jesus. One more time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We are grateful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you. I have nothing to give you.
Thank you, Jesus.
One more time. Say from your heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
For 2023.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I have nothing to give you.
One more time. For the plans and pursuits we have this year.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
For your disciples, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I have nothing.
For wisdom.
Say thank you.
For protection.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. You must learn to be thankful. Mary was thankful. In Luke 1. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 46. You learning something? So Mary said Elizabeth. In verse 45, and blessed is he that believes, for there shall be a performance of things that are spoken from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowest estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is upon them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his hand. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Amen.
Amen.
This is Mary's response to prophecy. So, thanksgiving is a perfect reaction to prophecy. When you receive a prophecy from God, one of the best ways you can respond is thanksgiving. You lift those hands and you bless His name. Hallelujah. Your heart will rejoice. It says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Let the work of God envelope you. Let Him cause your lips to sing. Amen. What I said, let Him cause your lips to sing. Sing up to this year. Oftentimes people start out years with expectations and lists. This will happen. This will happen. Prayer point. Expectation point. They used to give one card. What's the name of that card anyway? There's a card. Every family will have it. Remember, you know what I'm talking about. I think you even buy it. You buy the card. You don't write what you're expecting God to do that year. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. How about we start with some thanksgiving? How about we start with some grateful hearts? Rather than requests. I've come with no request. I just came to say thank you. How about that? How about that? Just saying thank you. If we thank God enough, we'll see His power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, as the trumpeters made music, play for me as I close. Or is that a short service?
Is that going to be number 5? Look at that. Let's turn that. Are you there now? I'm there.
If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say, oh me. Let's wait for the oh me. Oh me should have turned to amen by now. 2 Corinthians number 5, not Corinthians, Chronicles, verse 13. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one stand to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals, the instrument of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by the reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord has filled the house of God. Amen. As they made music, he says, even the priest could not stand. So we are going to see more of God's power when we are thankful. When we are thankful. When we are thankful. I love the way the psalmist says this in Psalm 100. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord is God. Is He that made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Amen. In the year of the great power of God, we must be thankful. We must sing more, we must be grateful more, and then we'll see God's hand more. See, let me say this. Set a tone for the year. Intentionally put aside grumbling. Intentionally put aside complaints. You see, that spirit of sometimes you're not saying it's nice in your head. Sometimes you think you should be doing better. Sometimes the devil can be so funny. Sometimes you think things are happening for you late. Who told you it's late? Helping Pastor Preserver says it. He said, you can only say something is late if time is in your hands. And because time is not in your hands, you don't know whether it's late or early. You don't even know whether God wants you to have it at all. How about that one? You can't call something late or early. But we know what the devil will have you do? Complain. In your head, you're reasoning. Oh, it's not happening. It's not, I don't know. Only if. And you forget to be thankful. Yet, in much thankfulness is much result. In much thankfulness, just saying thank you, Jesus. Just saying, imagine. Imagine. Just seeing God for who He is. Says, my soul magnifies the Lord. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And His praises will continually be in my mouth. How about that? I'll bless the Lord at all times. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Regardless of whatever has happened, I'll bless the Lord at all times. What is the Holy Ghost doing? He's blessing the Lord at all times through us. You want to know someone who is spirit filled? Check their attitude. How many times do you sing and make melodies to God? What is those always with you? They don't complain. They don't grumble. But I think grumble by within walk in the flesh in here now. They eat for a living. Anything. Kilo day. That's not spirit filled. That's not inspired by the Holy Ghost. You know what's inspired by the Holy Ghost? When you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, it's making melodies in your heart. And I believe God for a year that is full of thanksgiving. You believe that too? Did I sing it? Actually sing. There will be 1,001 and more reasons why you will say thank you, Jesus, this year. You know, you just keep lifting yourself and say, you've done it again. Another miracle. Amen. Another miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Yet another miracle. Yet another one. Yet another one. Yet another one. Miracles on miracles. Miracles on miracles. Yet another one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in me. Sometimes what I don't see. Sometimes it's going on behind the scene. But I trust you. You are the great shepherd. We are the sheep of your pasture. And I trust you. You're leading me. You're leading me and I'll follow. I won't complain. I won't murmur. I won't be disobedient. I'll just follow. I'm still that little boy. I'm still that little boy, Jesus. You know, just thankful and going about what you've done for me. I know that see, let me say this. There are hundreds of things that happen that you're not even aware of. I recall the 2018, the Lord showed me some things and I was like, Woo. These things are happening. You don't want to know what the devil is planning sometimes. But thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. He makes manifest the power of his victory by us in every place. Amen. Every time we stand, we don't know what's going on behind us. Sometimes you're sleeping, but you are the object of his care. No, you're sleeping, you don't even know what's going on. You and your husband are just dying, and the devil is doing things. But yet, we come out unscratched. Hallelujah. Unscratched. By the power of the Holy Ghost. And so, what's our own role? To give thanks. You preach, and then people are getting saved. You're seeing the increase in yourself. You give thanks. I know sometimes it's not what you're expecting yet. Sometimes it's not what you got yet in your head. But for every soul, Bible says there's joy in heaven. For one. How about for two? How about for three? How about for four? Hallelujah! How about for five? How about for 10? There should be multi-sessions of joy in our hearts. Hallelujah! For what we're doing for the Lord. For health. See, even when there's something in your body that you know you're just trying to get rid of, you're trusting God for it, but you're thanking God for other parts. Hallelujah. It's not a systemic failure. Hallelujah.
There's something in your ear that they want to remove. But your eyes are working. Amen. Right? And you are still eating. Thank God. That other one will be fixed. Live a life of thanksgiving. Take away murmuring from your life. Take away vain imaginations. That feeling of, I can still have more. I know you can have more. But thanksgiving is not lack of ambition. Mm-mm. It is contentment and hope. It is knowing that he that has done this one will do another one. Amen. He who began the good work, he is faithful to complete it. You believe that this year? Can you sing in tongues? Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Let them have some minutes singing in tongues. Sing for Cardia. Hey, stop. Simarade and Akati Samaria. Simalaye. Sim.